ദഹിനോസ്മിന് യഥാ ദേഹേ കൗമാരം യൗവനം ജരാ തഥാ ദേഹാന്തരപ്രാപ്തിർ ധീരസ്തത്ര നമുഹ്യതി. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു അർജുന, അർജുന, ദിസ് ദേഹി ആൻഡ് ദേഹം, ടു തിങ്സ്, ദ സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസ്ഡ് സോൾ ഓർ ദ പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ ഹാസ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത്, തഥാ ദേഹാന്തരപ്രാപ്തിർ ധീരസ്തത്ര നമുഹ്യതി. The reality is that a person, when he has to leave this body, dehandara prapti means leaving the body or changing the body, dhirastatra namukhyati, a realized soul never gets disturbed over it, or in other words, it does not affect him. So till the mind in a person finds the beauty of the soul, it will carry on running outside. That is the nature of the mind. Mind, till it has experienced the beauty of the soul or the happiness in the soul, till up to that point, the mind continues to go outside looking for happiness. And wherever it finds something beautiful, it will stay there. That's the nature of the mind. You can see yourself, if you look at it, when you observe your own mind, you will see it goes out and then it goes on looking at different things. But when you find something beautiful, it stays there till it finds something else more beautiful than that. Otherwise, it keeps on thinking about that. So, nobody has told the mind to do it. It is the nature of the mind, isn't it? The mind, nature of the mind, without anyone telling the mind to do so, it carries on doing that. actually, the inquiry for the mind, what is the mind inquiring after? Mind is inquiring after happiness. And that happiness, what the mind is looking for, is also coming from the soul. It's also coming from the soul. But unfortunately, instead of looking for happiness in the soul, it keeps looking for the happiness elsewhere. Then somebody has told the mind the two symptoms of the soul. Two symptoms of the soul. The mind is conscious of that. What is it? One is the beauty and the other one is this happiness. These two things are there in the soul. When one experiences that, when one realizes the truth, this is what is holding him back to the soul. But mind also knows about it. Only thing is, mind inquires for these two outside in the world, in the matter. every time it keeps looking for and trying to find out, is this the soul? Is this the soul? This is what it is inquiring after. But that does not know, we do not know that, because we don't know anything about the soul. Therefore, we are looking for this happiness outside. Every time we are told that this is not that. That's why after seeing something and after experiencing something, after a while we get bored with it. Why is it getting bored? Because it is not the thing what it was looking for. That is why the mind gets bored. When we achieve something in this life, after a while you get bored with it. And why this boredom happens? Because that's not it was looking for. That's not it was looking for. So, the devotee has prayed to Krishna that I have been looking for that beauty all over the world. But in order that the mind has to come to a standstill position, in order for the mind to become dissolved, there's only one way. That is when the mind starts seeing the beauty in you. That means in Krishna. When the mind starts seeing the beauty of Krishna, then it will stop this wandering. Up to that point, it will keep on wandering. When we say seeing the beauty of Krishna means that when you realize the truth, that is what the beauty of Krishna is. When you realize that Krishna is the absolute truth and Krishna is the soul in everyone, and when one comes to realize that is Krishna's beauty. So, it is not only the physical beauty of Krishna's form. Of course, that is beautiful. Yam Shyama Sundaram Ajindya Gunaswarupam. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. That beauty of Krishna is realized that he is present in everyone, and that means you are seeing Krishna's beauty everywhere. Krishna's beauty everywhere. Said, as soon as the mind starts seeing this, it will stop now inquiring after anything else. Up to that point, this wandering will continue throughout the world. It will keep on looking for some happiness here, some happiness there. And in the matter, and wherever we go, after a while you get bored. You don't think it is any more attractive, any more beautiful. People just like you see, they go on holiday for a few years to one place and thinking that, oh, that place is great. After a while they also get bored with it, isn't it? So same thing, that the nature of the mind is to look for happiness elsewhere and beauty elsewhere, but it doesn't get it. The real one it hasn't experienced yet, so it comes back again looking for something else. Rukmini Devi said this to Krishna when she wrote that letter. You remember the famous letter Rukmini Devi wrote to Krishna. Rukmini Devi says there, Shrutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Shunvadam Me. That Bhuvana Sundara, that's how Rukmini addressed Krishna there. Bhuvana Sundara means the all-pervading beauty, the most beautiful person in the whole creation. And that beauty of Krishna, Rukmini was experiencing. And she is saying that, Shrutva Gunan, I heard about the glories of you, your beauty, and all your auspicious qualities. Shrunudam Me, I have heard about that. And therefore, who is Bhuvanasundara? Bhuvanasundara is Krishna. Then, automatically, when we see Krishna, that all other desires will go away. All other desires will go away. And once we experience that beauty of Krishna and we start finding that attraction in Krishna, then all other beauty in this world will not be of any attraction to us. That is, all the devotees have confirmed that. Once we experience Krishna's beauty, then we will have no more desire for enjoying any other beauty in this world. And it will all become very sour for us. All other beauty will become very sour. It's no more attraction to the beauty of Krishna. So, in next 60th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, which is known as the Karhichit chapter, Karhichit, that is the chapter where Krishna teases Rukmini, isn't it? Krishna teases Rukmini. In that, Krishna has asked Rukmini, Rukmini, why did you marry me? There are so many other beautiful princes, Shishubala, and many others, Krishna says, very wealthy and opulent and coming from a very aristocratic families, and who are much more qualified than me. My friends are all these people with their matted hair and wearing all this. Some of them are even the clothes are not proper, or some of them are very old, they have nothing with them, they have no possessions, nothing. They are my friends. And you have come and married me, who I belong to that class of people, who wanders in the street without anything. And Krishna asked this question to Rukmini. And Rukmini said, but I was not looking for that bodily beauty. This is not how I married you. Rukmini's answer to that. That Rukmini says there in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Shrutva Gunan, you look into the 10th canto. Rukmini says, Tok Ashmashu രോമം നഖ കേശ പിനദ്ധമന്ദർ മാംസസ്ഥി രക്തക്രമികൾ വീട്ടിൽ കഫവാതപിത്തം ജീവച്ഛവം ഭജതി കാന്തമതിർ വിമൂഢ യാദേ പദാബ്ജം അകരന്നമജിഘ്രതി സ്ത്രീ. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ വേഴ്സ് ഫ്രം രുക്മിണി ദേവി replying Krishna, when Krishna mentioned to Rukmini Devi that why did you marry me? Krishna was actually trying to find out that what does Rukmini thinking about Krishna. So Krishna says to Rukmini that by marrying me, I do not understand what a foolish decision you have made, because there are so many aristocratic family members, princes who have come here to marry you, and you didn't marry any one of them. Instead, you decided to marry me. And my situation, as you know, Krishna says to Rukmini, that I belong to a class. Actually, nobody knows where I'm coming from. Some people say that I have Vasudeva and Devaki as my father. Some people say that Nandamaharaj and Yashoda is my father. Can anybody have two father and two mother? So that's not possible. So I don't have a proper background in that sense, that nobody knows who my father and who my mother is. Secondly, people have an impression about me that I was, all my childhood days, I never went to school. And also, I was busy with stealing the butter and milk and other things when I was in Vrindavanam. So I have got a bad reputation there also. And then even after growing up, the first thing I did was I killed my uncle. So that also doesn't look very nice. So from all angles, I am not a qualified husband for you, Krishna says to Rukmini. And when there were such personalities like Shishupala and Dandavatra and many others who come from high class, royal families, who were happy to marry you, you have rejected all of them and decided to marry me. Why did you do that? When Krishna asked that question, Rukmini says to Krishna that I didn't think about the physical beauty behind it. That was Rukmini's answer. That was not what was actually behind it. He says, Tvakshmashroma nakhakesha pinadhamandar mamsasti rakta krimivil kabhavadapittam jivachavam bhajadi kandamadiru vimudha yade padabjam agarandam ajigradistrim. Then Rukmini says to Krishna that this material body is made up of all these things, isn't it? Tvak means the skin, then hair, and then the nails, and the flesh, and the bones, and the blood, and krimi will kaphavatapitam, vadam pit, air, bile, and mucus. It's a combination of all these kind of things. When it is like that, I cannot think about marrying such a thing. That is not I was looking for. Rukmini's reply. How long will that beauty last? Rukmini asks Krishna. The beauty of all these things when put together. Kunapavaka bhogyam. Krishna says, it's just like a bag which was packed with all sorts of rubbish in that. And that is this material body is concerned. And I was not loving that body, that dead matter in that way. I was actually looking for the soul. It is the soul that I am after. And I was loving the soul. And I have seen the beauty of the soul, Rukmini says to Krishna. And once you have seen the beauty of the soul, the mind will not go for anything else. Then, when one has seen the beauty of the soul, automatically the mind will go and stand there. And it will not go from there anywhere else. Mind is constantly inquiring after the soul. It is the soul that we are looking for. But where did this mind come? Mind, nobody knows how it has come. Very difficult to define this thing called mind. It comes from somewhere. Somewhere it comes up from inside. And then it goes out and start inquiring everywhere. It goes out and start inquiring everywhere. And eventually it is not satisfied anywhere, and it comes back and goes back into the same place, isn't it? Where it came from. That's what happens in the Sushupti state. In the Jagrat state, the mind comes out from inside. And then it starts inquiring things everywhere in the world. And when it has not found the happiness anywhere, eventually when we fall asleep, it goes back and dissolves itself into the soul, into the sushma, sushma shariram. And after giving a little experience of that, in the dream state, it goes and dissolves in the deep sleep. This is the nature of the mind. An example is given like this, that once it so happened that a crow went and sat in a ship and went to sleep. It fell asleep in the ship. By now, the ship has moved away from the port, far away into the deep sea. It has gone away. The crow fell asleep during that time. When the crow woke up, it saw everywhere water, all around the ship. All it saw was water. So what it did was, looking for the land, it flew away quite a long distance. It couldn't find anywhere the land, so it flew back and sat in the ship. It went to the north, it went to the south, it went to the east, it went to the west, everywhere. It kept looking for the land. Couldn't find land anywhere because the ship has sailed quite a lot by now. So it flies back and comes and sits back in the ship. Comes and sits back in the ship. Then similarly, the mind is also doing exactly the same thing. It gets up in the morning, goes around everywhere looking for some kind of happiness. And the whole day it searches. And eventually when it doesn't find anywhere, it comes back and goes to sleep in the night. So the nature of the mind is in Jagrat state. Somewhere it comes out, it wakes up. When we wake up in the morning, the mind also wakes up, isn't it? As soon as we wake up, the false ego comes out and then the mind also starts acting its own way. So the mind goes out after various things during the day and then it gets tired in the evening. And that is why Krishna has arranged a system like this, that as soon as you get tired, that the inquiry stops for happiness. It comes back and dissolves in there and then it goes to sleep. So normally, wherever the mind is born, wherever the mind was born, and in the same place it goes and dissolves also at the end, and all its activities also stop at that point. mind is looking because continuously chittavritti, or the activities of the mind, starts. And the mind is trying to do all that because it's inquiring after the truth. And knowingly or unknowingly, everyone is searching for the same thing, which is the soul. But we do not know that. And we also do not know, because we do not know that the happiness is in the soul, that only in the soul, which we do not know, therefore we keep on inquiring elsewhere. So, when we start this inquiry and it never stops outside, Krishna wants to help us that this inquiry must come to a stop. So in order to do that, Krishna gives us distress. So when the distress comes, little by little, the mind withdraws from the world. Otherwise, the mind won't withdraw from the world. Mind will find various activities in the world entertaining and giving some pleasure here, some pleasure there. So the mind will never stop going after the objects. So when Krishna sees that one is finding very, very difficult to withdraw himself from the world, Krishna gives us this thing called distress in some form or the other. When goes and falls into sense enjoyment, at that time Krishna gives a little distress also along with that. So that he does not get completely intoxicated with the sense enjoyment. That sense enjoyment does not overpower him. That is the idea behind it. Then when one gets a lot of distress every time, there is a kind of discrimination that develops within a person. It's a kind of discrimination that develops within a person, that there is no happiness in any of these things. There's no happiness in any of these things. Unfortunately, we have certain concept of happiness in particular material objects, isn't it? And that does not go away easily from us. So what Krishna does is through giving us this distress, he will make us realize that each of these objects which we are trying to love and find happiness are only a source of distress in this world. When we come to realize this more and more, internally we get some realization. That is called Vivekam. Vivekam means that internal realization that there is no happiness in any of these things. Very firmly, by studying books, by studying Shastram, this will not happen. This will not happen by studying Shastram. It only happen when one experiences that distress in this world, and from that distress, it will have an internal realization coming from that. And that is what Shastram is talking about as Vairagyam. Vairagyam will not come by studying Shastram or by hearing from others or anything. It is very difficult. That can happen in very extreme cases. But in almost all cases, it is distress that makes a person to become detached to this world. And he is seeing the reality that there is no happiness in any of these things, what one is trying to acquire, achieve in this world, and there cannot be any permanent happiness in any of these things, his mind quietly withdraw from that object. And the desire for possessing this, desire for acquiring this, all goes away at that time. He finds no happiness. This is the point when one is ready for spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not. So that's why it is said here that everything when we started seeing is just like fire, isn't it? When you touch fire, you know it is going to burn, then you won't touch the fire anymore. In the same way, all sense gratification also, even if you tell them about it, they will not realize it. Nobody will realize it. It's very difficult for them to understand that, because in everything there is distress. The jiva has to find out by its very, very sushma viveka shakti. In other words, extremely subtle, that power of discrimination that starts working inside. Most of us, we haven't developed discrimination. That is why one of the most difficult problems, isn't it? Vivekam. That discrimination to think that we will, when we read Shastram also, Shastram is telling us that there is no happiness in any of this. You won't find permanent happiness, permanent anandam in any of these material objects and material life. Still, we won't accept it, isn't it? We won't accept that. Why? Because we are still thinking there is some happiness in there. That's what it is keeping us. So Krishna says here that when one that develops through distress in life, that will be a proper experience. And then it's a little bit difficult to, will be careful, like the fire, to touch it again. So when one finds it like that, that in the world outside there is distress, then the mind will also stop wandering after that. Mind will also stop wandering after that. And it will go back and dissolve itself in the place where it is born from. For that, it requires a lot of experience, isn't it? Arjuna also has gone through that. Some 14 years, they were wandering in the forest, mother and the five children. They were wandering in the forest. They have experienced a lot of distress. They have experienced a lot of distress. In addition to that, after that, all that wandering around in the forest, Arjuna and Kudidevi and other Pandavas, when they have wandered around, they had enough of it by 14 years of wandering. And when they came back, the next thing they had to do was to fight this war. Fight this war after that. So that made the things worse. So you can imagine this has turned Arjuna into a really thoughtful person. That's what developed into Arjuna Vishada Yogam, the first chapter what we read in the Bhagavad Gita. So by now, that he is actually matured. Arjuna is matured in that way. And but often people will ask this question, how will I find peace in this world? How will I find peace in this world? I am unable to bear my own distress. For everybody, their own distress is the biggest one, isn't it? Whatever they experience the distress, they think that is the biggest problem. They think like that. And they also think that only in their life there is distress. That's another thing. This distress is a very, very rare and a powerful force, because this is the only thing that pushes our mind out from outside world to inwards. Otherwise, it never happens inside. So that is what is making a person actually pakkvam. Pakkvam means mature for spiritual knowledge, for spiritual realization. It is so many devotees, if you take, you will notice this has happened in their life, including Srila Prabhupada also. That only when that really distress comes in life, you will think seriously and your mind will give up its attachment to the world outside, stops all plan making for becoming happy in this material life, and all other attachment also loosens up and one starts seeing the truth as it is. There is a story about this. There is a big businessman from Tamil Nadu. He went and settled down in Gujarat. You know what his business was? He used to sell saris. There's a place called Kanjivaram near Chennai where they make silk saris. And this man had a lot of this sari business. And he was quite big. He developed a lot of, well, made a lot of money from sari business. He had all over the country, he had sari business. And he had also he had also established a lot of branches and used to travel a lot everywhere. He was also educated. This is not a very old story. It's a recent story. And because he was educated, he has also read Bhagavad Gita and he has heard a few, little bit of Vedantam and everything, lectures he has heard. But all these things what he has heard and the books he has read, Bhagavad Gita and all, has only helped him to develop a kind of devotion, but very much based on his desires, very much based on his material desires. And they have settled down in Gujarat, and this was a very wealthy family. They have the temple in Somnath. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So in Somnath temple, from evening 7 o'clock to 8 in the evening, the seven sages, they come and worship Lord Shiva there. There's a special puja that's conducted by the Saptarishis. The seven sages perform that puja. After that puja is over, this business family has a right there to do the puja in that temple, in Somnath temple, this business family. So, because they were so wealthy, for many, many generations they were wealthy and they were engaged in this sari business. So, like that, they were going on, a very happy family. The husband was involved in this business of making money. They were not very sinful in that sense. They were not engaged in sinful activities, but just liked making money. This was his major thing in life. And his good wife also, she was a devotee. So together they were very happy. The wife was happy, his husband was happy. And they had one daughter and two sons. This was the family. Two sons and a daughter. So in due course, they all grew up. And eventually, although he has studied Bhagavad Gita, he has read Bhagavad Gita and heard Vedanta philosophy and all that, still he was not... still likes to live his life happy as he was living. Attachment to the life was so strong. So, when carried on like this, they arranged the marriage of the daughter. The daughter's marriage was arranged. And the night before the marriage was going to happen, wife fell sick and the night she died. The wife died at the night. So he was heartbroken because she was the center of the family and she was a very devoted wife and who looked after the family well and also managed things well. So the husband was happy and they didn't know anything and they couldn't understand what is unhappiness in life. This is how they lived. And there was plenty of money and they were also religious in that sense. They were religious people. But religion doesn't help when it comes to the truth. Religion has a limit where it can take you. So what happened was, when this incident happened in their life, first time they experienced what this distress means. Up to that time, they didn't know what distress means. Because everything was there in plenty, and the family life was happy. So it's very difficult for a man, if you tell him, to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and take it seriously, you won't take it. It's not possible. So it is in such circumstances that Krishna gives this kind of a little taste of what distress means. So when this happened in the family, what he did was, he postponed the marriage straight away. And for another year. He said, we'll postpone the marriage for a year. And the bridegroom was all fixed. That's also from another business family. So for a year the marriage didn't happen. This whole 1 year he was lamenting, going through this, thinking about what has happened to me. Where did things go wrong? This is what people think at that time, isn't it? Where did things go wrong in my calculations? Anyway, after a year, the marriage happened to the same person whom the marriage was previously arranged. All that was organized and the marriage happened. And marriage happened, and although he never recovered from his unhappiness in life because of the death of his wife, still somehow or the other he felt the daughter is now married and he was finding for some happiness through the extensions of the family. So eventually then what happens was the daughter became pregnant, and before the daughter gave birth to the child, while she was in the labor, both the mother and the baby died. So that was enough for him. Threw the whole thing away and walked out of the house. He was crazy, gone crazy, completely mad. So when this happened to him, he cannot sleep in the night. This is always in his mind. Why is this happening to me? What do I do now? Because all happiness in life was centered around this family life and the happiness that was coming from that. So he started wandering around. He went over, spent a lot of time in Benares, spent there. He was a devotee. She was devotee. So went to Benares and stayed there. And from Benares, he didn't find any happiness. He can't sleep at night. Because this is in the night whole time. The moment you sleep, immediately somebody from inside is waking him up. The distress comes very strongly and disturbs him. So he won't sleep at night. Like a mad person who has, but he hasn't gone mad totally. At the same time, as though the head has caught fire, that was his constant situation at that time. He was wandering around in this world. Eventually he went to Badrinath and Kedarnath because he wanted to get away from this world. So Himalayas are a big shelter, isn't it? He went to Himalayas and went to Badrinath and then went to Kedarnath. And all this time, he was not actually doing anything, properly looking after himself. Nothing was there in his... Sometimes, if anybody gives anything, sometimes he will eat, sometimes he won't eat even, in that way. While moving around all this in this journey, he went somewhere in a remote village and somewhere in Andhra Pradesh. Underneath the tree, he saw one sadhu sitting there. So he went and approached the sadhu and told him, sadhu has also, by now, this sadhu, there are so many times like this, sadhus, they leave the world and after a lot of realizations, they become withdrawn from this world and they'll sit very quietly in one place. So he approached this sadhu and asked the sadhu that what shall I do now that I am in this situation, I can't sleep at night. And for sadhu gave him some mantra to chant. They call it as Stula Vanjakshari and Sushma Vanjakshari. There are two things. That every time when you receive a mantra from a saintly person, they give the Bijaksharam. And also within that, the mantra also along with that to chant. And tell you to chant seriously for a certain period of time. So this sadhu gave this. When he saw the sadhu, he felt happy. Why? Because there is somebody like me who is withdrawn from the world, who has no interest in the world. That's what gave him happiness. So that he took courage to go and speak to him. Wherever he was looking otherwise, he saw everybody's running around in all directions, looking for happiness. And this is what has happened to him. His happiness and his whole world was completely broken. Isn't it? The whole world has fell apart for him. There is no world anymore. He left the whole thing and walked out from there. He never wanted to go back to the house or see the family or inquire after anything about it. So this sadhu gave the instructions to him to chant Sushma Vanjakshari, which is a little different than the Stula Vanjakshari. Stula Vanjakshari is generally, it is called as Om Namah Shivaya, And Sushruta Manjushri is Nama Shivaya, Shivaya Nama. And with the Bijaksharam it is little different. So the Sushruta Manjushri was instructed to him and asked him, given to him to chant, and also to seriously absorbs in the mantram. So he was chanting this, and there was a banyan tree which he used to circumambulate, chanting this mantra. He won't stay during the day and the night. As long as his body is, he can drag on, he will keep on chanting this mantra and circumambulate that, the Ashwatha tree or the banyan tree. He used to chant and walk around. While living like that, he was not eating much. He was not eating much. If anybody comes in from the village and gives something, he will eat that. If they have not brought anything and given it, he won't eat anything. To such an extent, the vairagyam has come inside, the detachment of this world. Sometimes people give some chapati, he will eat that. Or some fruits, he will eat that. But he never went and asked anyone for anything. If by providence, if anything comes, he will take it. But even after eating that, immediately the fear will develop inside. The fear that has haunted him after the death of his wife and the daughter and the baby, it has completely shaken his world. So in this way he lived like that, but after a few months of chanting, some peace started developing inside. Some peace started developing. He started experiencing that there is another world than the world I was living in. We all realize one day that this world what we are living now at the moment, our world, what we have created, with our family members and so social life and everything. This is one world. And this world one day will break, fall apart. But only thing is, it falls apart for us at the time of death. We wait till then for the world to fall apart. But if it falls apart earlier, it's much better. Because then you will wake up properly to the real world. Today our real world is this world, what we are living in. So this what happened to him was, he decided to go. By then, this sannyasi who gave him these instructions, or this sadhu who gave these manjushri instructions to him, he told him that, I'm going, I'm not sitting here, I don't sit anywhere permanently. He walked away from there. So our businessman also left that place. He went to Kedaram and Badri. And while coming back from Kedarnath, on the way down, there was a small Shiva temple where he decided to sit there. Still the mind is inside bothering him heavily. What am I living for? This question. What am I living for? One side, my material happiness is all finished. That never worked. And spiritually also, I have not got anywhere yet. This situation will happen to most of us. All of us, it will happen. That when this situation happened, he comes on the way down from Kedarnath, he stays in the temple, and he decided, because he was so exhausted, he sat there and slept. He sat there and slept. It was then that someone came and spoke to him from the somebody, an old person who was dressed like a sannyasi, came up and spoke to him. So our business sannyasi or business sadhu asked him that, I'm not finding any peace. I have no peace in my material life. That all broken up. It didn't work. Now come to spiritual life. Still I am not finding any peace. I've looked for happiness in Banaras. I looked for Kedarnath in Badrinath. So many places I've gone trying to find some peace, but I'm not finding any peace. Peace is the nature of the soul. That also we should not forget. Peace, being peaceful inside, is the nature of the soul. Isn't it? That is why you will see, whenever self-realization happens to a person, when it is referred to in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned as Shanti. Shanti is mentioned. Tadaparam Shanti Mupaiti Satshal. Kavi Maharshi says, isn't it? Manye Kudaschil Bhayam Apchudasya Padambujobasana Matranityam. If you look into 12 verses, what Kavi Maharshi spoke to King Nimi and about self-realization, what is Bhagavad Dharmam, when he discussed that, at that point, Kavi Maharshi says to him that Tataparam Shanti Mupaiti Satshal. A devotee, after going through all the experiences and realizing the truth, eventually what happens to him? He becomes perfectly situated within in peace. That means mind is not operating anymore and is experiencing the happiness of the soul, and he has total peace within himself. That is Shanti. That's why all Upanishads mantras finishes with Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Shanti is the goal at the end. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yatnya Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Sukhrudam, Sarva Bhudanam. What will happen? Yatva Amam Shanti Mruchadi. The end will be that you will experience Shanti inside. Yatva Amam. He realized that there is Shanti when we connect ourselves with Krishna. So, this person, he hasn't found Shanti yet. It is still inside, burning. It is not going. You cannot sleep at night. The moment you go to sleep, immediately you wake up. Because of that fear inside. What will happen? What has happened to me? Why? Self-realization has not happened yet. This is a very difficult stage in spiritual life. You have left your material life, you have not reached the spiritual life either. So in between, this happens. So it was then that by Krishna's arrangement, that this sannyasi came and speak to him. He told him, the Shanti you are looking for, you won't find in Banaras, you won't find in Kedarnath, you won't find in Badrinath, it is right inside you. That's where you will be looking for. So the mind will wander. Even after taking to spiritual life, the mind will still continue to wander all over the world. And even after you receive a lot of distress and you become thoughtful and everything, still the mind won't surrender. Mind won't surrender. The mind's dissolvement, or when the mind eventually completely surrenders at that point, only then you can say that Shanti has come to a person. And once that happens to that degree, then it will not allow, the mind won't take birth again inside. The mind won't take birth again. So this person has spent years now in this way, and 5-6 years he was wandering around by now, and it so happened to him that the sannyasi gave these instructions to him, and in the dream this was happening, all these things, this discussion with the sannyasi was happening in the dream. And as soon as he woke up and looked, there was nobody there. There was no one there. By now he has started realizing that there is only Shanti is inside. It's not outside. Shanti is not in Himalayas or elsewhere. Then finally, eventually he finds it within himself. So it is then that one reaches that state of peace where one stops this wandering around. Also one comes to a state of peacefulness within. Then it is known as the Nirvikalpa state. Nirvikalpa means this Vikalpam all goes away. Vikalpam is what is constantly coming in, and the mind gets very active. You can see in our own life, when we become very active, what happens? The mind gets very absorbed, isn't it? We start thinking that the mind has got an important job to do, and we withdraw our attention from all everything else in this world, and we become very focused in our activity. So, then he says there that his realization, his contact with his own spiritual master was like this. He considers that person who came and spoke to him, that sannyasi in the dream, as his guru. He sees him as his guru. He says, he appeared in front of me, but then he gone and disappeared somewhere inside me, and he has gone. Since then I have not seen him. But by now, that he has realized, Atmano Guru Atmaiva, that Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshan Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindada. That what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasi Skandam. That from inside, the necessary guidance started coming up to him. This is the point when one recognizes that Krishna's presence inside as a spiritual master. When Krishna is present inside as a spiritual master, and he starts sending signals to us that there is nowhere to inquire anything, nowhere to go after anything, you have to be situated within this peaceful situation, what you experience in life, that is a realized state, self-realized state. When that becomes very firm within us, you will see the connection with Krishna is very strong and binding to us. So, when the mind becomes steady, or when the mind gets subdued without any more activity, then immediately we will get to know our Swarupam, our real identity. What is not allowing for us to realize the truth now is our own mind, nothing else. we have this sometime understanding that, oh, I'm not very spiritual because the place where I'm living is not very good, or the association is not good. They are external things. What's actually happening is the inside mind is not surrendering. Mind is causing all the problems inside. And then you are blaming everything else in this world outside for your own unhappiness. That. But when the inquiry becomes serious, what happens is the mind stops its wandering around outside, and then it slowly starts withdrawing inwards. And once he will realizes that all these chittavritti means the constant flow of thoughts that's coming through, is just compared to the clouds in there. So many clouds are coming, and the clouds, sometimes we get rain, and the clouds go clears up and goes away, isn't it? Similarly, chittavrittis also are like that. All the thoughts that's coming through the mind has also the same thing. It comes, and then it causes a lot of problems. Once it goes away, the mind gets some clarity. So it's a so that is why in that situation, we give up this idea of distress. Where is the distress coming from? Distress is coming from two things. What we call it as kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Isn't it? I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That will leave us on its own. We don't have to try very hard. When you get hit very strongly in this world by the distresses, then vairagyam comes, and then you are the doer and you are the enjoyer will slowly go away from a person. That kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam won't touch us anymore. And therefore, Ishopanishad, in commentary on the Ishopanishad, it is said like this, that this world, what we create within ourselves, the world exists to us so long as we deal with the world through our mind and senses. Otherwise, this world has no meaning, really. But we take this world very, very seriously, isn't it? Why? Because of the association of the mind and the senses. That ragam and ragadvesha kartrutvadi bhoktrutva rupam jagat. That is the definition of the world. Ragat desha kartrutvadi bhoktrutva rupam jagat. Which means, ragam and dvesham, the two things, what happens, attachment and aversion to sense objects, to various objects in this world, ragat dvesham kartrutvadi bhoktrutva rupam jagat. And based on that, we develop the two things, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. And that is the nature of the jagat, the creation. Creation is not all the matter what we see. We think that so much, the world is so big, there's so many planets, so many universes and all that. That may be there, but that is not our real world. The real world we live in is the world we create with these objects within ourselves. That is the world what we live in, actually. Isn't it? And it is in that world our ragam, dvesham, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. All these things are existing in our world. Our world. Things you do not know in this world, many places and many things in this world we haven't seen, and it doesn't exist for us. As far as we are, okay, newspaper may tell us it exists, or the history may tell us, but it doesn't affect us anyway. What actually affects us is that what through ragam and dvesham, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, the world you have created. That is what is actually causing all the problem for us. So, see, for example, we live in a particular area. Everything that happens in that area is our world, first world, isn't it? What happens locally, it's important to us. Say a war goes on in Canada or in Australia or something, or a big forest fire, blazing fire happens in California or in Australia. We see that all in the television or read through the newspaper, but it really doesn't bother us very much. After all, it's happening so far away, it is not going to come here, we think, so far. But if it is happening, say, in Stanmore, in Edgware, or Hemel Hempstead, or something like, or Watford, we will be concerned about that. How far is it going to come? We'll inquire that, isn't it? So why is that? Because it's the kartrutva bhoktrutvam ragadvesham develops by then with the place where we live, attachment to that place. And also, you can see that the kartrutva bhoktrutva rupena, that is how it says, jagat we create, that this attachment and aversion is centered on very closely. Suppose there is a street fight going on in a street, it's close to the house, we'll look at it, we'll see what's happening. So depending on the distance from where you are living, your interest also will vary. If it's too far, you don't bother. If it's very close, you are concerned why it's happening like that. So there all ragadvesham comes in. Attachment and aversion develops inside. So when the ragam and dvesham happens, the mind will move. The mind will start moving. If you start feeling any kind of attachment or aversion to anyone, the mind will start moving. Mind will start functioning at that time. Mind will start always thinking about it. See, you meet somebody, and when you met someone, you had talked to him or spoken to him something about issue which was concerned with you or with him. Then, even after the person has gone, you'll be thinking about it. Isn't it? That is the nature of the mind. In other words, you have allowed that person to get inside in you. And if the person has been friendly, or if you found him interesting person to talk to, he will stay in your mind. And or if he has not been very friendly, or if you are not found him very giving you any pleasure, then also a kind of distress develops inside. Ragam and dvesham happens inside. So kartrutva bhoktrutva buddhi. Just like if you do something, someone comes and tells you, oh, you've done very well. Immediately what happens? From inside, the false ego says, I am big. Isn't it? So I've done it. Children, when they, you have seen that, they say like this, isn't it? I've done it. They'll say, I've done it. And adults also do the same nonsense when they get big. This is that kartrutva buddhi inside. I've done that. And my false ego has done that, in other words. That's what he's saying. That he's feeling some happiness from all this. So kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam also is a part of that. That both these things will make the mind to, it will activate the mind, in other words, when this happens. That when with knowledge, this ragam and dvesham goes away, then the mind won't move anymore. You won't allow the mind to move. How do you do that? Because if you don't allow people to get inside your mind, the ragam dvesham won't happen. So that, say for example, I met somebody now here, and I spoken, and we had a few minutes of conversation. If I carry that within me, then if I go home, I'll be thinking about it. What did he say about this? What did he say about that? All kinds of thoughts will come. That means you have allowed that person to get inside and influence the mind. But if you speak, and then if you leave it there itself after the conversation, and then it won't go with you, you'll be forgotten. The person won't get in, and it won't cause any problems also. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's also in the Bhagavadam, it says here, this movement of the mind is the first thing, how to stop the mind. And to understand that, Krishna says, you have to see why it is happening and how it is happening. The technique, technique means the cause behind it, allowing the mind to move. Kuhadi Maharada Atma Vidyaya. Atma Vidya was given to Bhishma Pitamaha, says about Krishna in his prayers in Bhishma Stuti. Kumadi Mahad Atma Vidyaya. Kumati means when one has lost his brain, Kumati, his intelligence. And Arjuna was confused in that state. Atma Vidya, the knowledge of the soul, was imparted to him by Krishna at that time and took him in the right direction. Bhishma spoke about this. So Arjuna's intelligence was purified by talking about the soul. Nothing else was done. That simply by the knowledge of the soul, he found light within himself. He found that light. And when the mind, when the attention is in the body, everything that will come from that will bring distress. When the attention is shifted inside to the soul, immediately that distress never happens again. And when, if anything happens to the body, it will create distress. As long as our attention is on the body, if anything happens to the body, it will bring distress. Because your attention is in the body. If the attention is shifted to the attention is shifted to the soul, whatever happens to the body, you will not feel distressed about it. It is not something what you can do in 1 minute. It is a constant endeavor to take shift the attention from the body to the soul. That is the first thing. In order to do that, first the knowledge of the soul is necessary. Otherwise it is not possible. We will not shift our attention from body to the soul unless we have knowledge of the soul. Today we have knowledge of the body, isn't it? We are absorbed in knowledge of the body. So, that is what Krishna says. In the first verse itself he said this, that intelligent people, realized people, what he was talking about, isn't it? He says, realized people don't lament for the body. That's the first statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Ashochyan anyashochastvam pratyavadamscha bhashase gadasu nagadasumscha nani shochandi panditaha. Realized person, that is verse 10, I think, in the second chapter, when Krishna started instruction, the first thing he told Arjuna was, shift your attention from the body to the soul. And only then we can talk about further thing, because you have identified something which what you are not. What you are not. So this is the same problem we all have. We are also not different than that. Our problem today is also is the same, that our whole attention is on the body. And we were not able to move ourselves from this body to the soul, like Krishna has asked Arjuna to do that. And next thing he told was, this distress what you are experiencing is a symptom of ignorance. Symptom of ignorance. That those who are living or those who are dead, nobody realizes, all knowledgeable persons, they don't feel distressed about them. Neither of them. Those who are living, nor for the gadasu nagadasumscha nani shochandi panditaha. Pandita, learned people, don't regret about them. Don't feel distressed over those who have come and those who have gone. Which is quite a advanced state of spiritual life, isn't it? To come to that steadiness in the mind. It is not easy. Because every time when a relative dies or close family member dies, we all feel distressed about it. Isn't it? Oh, and then we change our whole life pattern at that time. You can see this all the time. If you observe people, sometimes husband and wife, they live together for a very long period of time. And then one day they get old and then they still stick together thinking that somehow we will stay, survive for some more time. They know inside somebody is telling them one of us will go anytime. But we will still think, and then suddenly you can see one of them goes and the next one is left in terrible distress, doesn't know what to do, and trying to adjust, cope with it, as they say, trying to cope with the situation. But what can you cope? The thing is that if that understanding had come earlier, then it will not happen. You won't feel distressed about it. You don't have to go through that severe shock for years later. And that's when you start thinking there's nothing in this world, you feel completely lost in this world, all these things happen. So Krishna is saying here that the symptom of intelligence in a person is when he recognizes this earlier in life, much earlier, much before that thing happens, and then straight away come to understand that none of this is permanent. Gadasu nagadasumscha, that they will come, they will go in life. I don't have to be disturbed over this, because that's not my real relationship in this world. That is what that second verse is talking about. Ashochyan anyashochastvam pratyavadamscha bhashase gadasu nagadasumscha nani shochandi panditaha. He is a person, pandita is such a person, who doesn't take all these things inside, because he has not allowed that to get in. This separation from it. He never allowed that other person to get inside him and to create this mind to move. So his mind is stable. He's not disturbed over this. Then, and then, when this stage has not reached, you can see that person's all other effort also is not going to help very much. It's not going to help very much. Why? The reason is this. that we haven't realized this truth in ourselves. We ourselves are very much subjected to distress, subjected to unhappiness because of our conditioning. And then we want to change the world. We want to change the world. Some people, sometimes they make this New Year resolutions, isn't it? I'm going to stop drinking coffee, or I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol, various kinds of things. You hear in the office all the time when you're working in an office, people will talk to each other, what's your New Year resolution, they will say. And another fellow will say, one fellow will say, oh, this year I won't be I won't be drinking as much as I used to do before, I'll restrict to one pint and things like that. They talk nonsense all each other. And it doesn't last very long. On the second or third, when the office reopens after that, in the morning they'll talk all these things. Lunchtime they're back in the pub again. The same person who has taken this New Year resolution. Then he'll say, I kept it for the next year resolution. The same resolution will go to the next year. So what does it show? It's only showing to us that our own body and our own mind, this is how much control we have over our own mind and our own body. Particularly this coffee and tea drinking. It's very common, isn't it? Among everybody drinks coffee, tea. And they say that I'm not doing anything sinful. That's how they say. But that's all right. But the thing is that, what I'm saying is that, as far as if you say to him, stop your drinking tea or stop your coffee, he says, no, that's not possible. And even if he tries very hard, eventually somewhere he'll find some loophole where to get a cup of tea. In India, you will notice this particularly. Have you seen these small places where there will be a four-wheeled trolley, all roadsides? They'll be making tea, coffee, and it's 24-hour service. It is 24 hours. Truck drivers, bus, all who are driving in the night, when they see that, they feel a relief. Oh, here I've found now somewhere I'll have a cup of tea. I'll say, same thing everywhere, but in a different way, because it's too cold here, so you can't have that. But in India, because it's not so cold, you can do all these kind of things. And so a person who has taken a resolution not to drink coffee or tea, when he sees that trolley with the man making tea, immediately he will think, let me have a cup of tea. And he will go in that direction. So what I'm saying is that that this decision to stop our controlling our mind and body is not very easy. We are unable to do that. And it's the same thing. Instead of coffee and tea, as far as eating habits are concerned also. Eating habits are concerned also. So, say in a situation where there's a nice feast, you are invited. Even if there's other problems, you will still think that, okay, let me go and have the feast first. And the attachment for having a nice feast, and we give a spiritual coloring to it, saying that it is a disappearance day or so-and-so, or appearance day or so-and-so, whatever it is, and gives us an excuse also to eat well and to enjoy the feast. So what I'm saying is that this desire, that to give up any desire is not easy. And there is no point in working on in that direction very far, because it's not going to help by our own effort. Our own effort is not going to happen. But if we come to realize that the self-realization process, if we follow that, what will happen is that there is Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality, Supreme Controller, who is present in everyone, controlling everyone. If we recognize that fact, our desire to change others will go away from us. Right now what's happening is, we are finding it difficult to control our own mind and our own body. And we are trying to change everybody else in this world. And we blame them, he's not changing, why is he not changing? I've told him to do this, why is he not doing it? This way we keep after others. His own situation, he won't think about it. He has made a mess of himself. But still, he wants to rectify everybody else in this world. The spiritual life begins with oneself, not with others. If you become, I become perfect in my own control of mind and senses, that itself is a perfection for others who may see it and who may get benefited, who may get inspired by that. But if I don't do it, I tell everyone else, why you are not doing this? Why did you not get up in the morning? Why did you go to bed so late? And if I start questioning and finding fault with everybody else, then it is not going to work for very far. In an institution, you do all this kind of thing. This is what happens in institution, isn't it? Because you are started thinking that you are the responsibility of the whole world on your head, that you have to change the whole world. And then you start going after this. You have not done anything to control yourself first. And then in spiritual life, when your spiritual life is going well and you are becoming self-realized, you have realization of yourself, what you are, others will notice it in a natural way and they will find something in you which will affect them. But otherwise, simply by our propaganda, it is not going to happen to others. So, as soon as we realize this, that Krishna is present in everyone, Krishna is controlling everybody according to his karma, he gives the happiness and distress as and when it is required. And that powerful force which is controlling everyone, it is Krishna. And then we will stop trying to change others. If we recognize this. Once we recognize that Krishna is controlling everyone, and it is Krishna who is allowing him to act in a particular way. And if you leave that understanding, because having realized that my own situation, I am unable to change, I am myself in a helpless situation, and if I recognize this, then you will not try change others anymore. Bhagavatam says like this, Ishasahi vashe loge yosha darumayi yatha. There is this statement you will see in two or three places in the Bhagavatam. Ishasahi vashe loko yosha darumayi yatha. Just like control, everything is under Krishna's control. Ishasahi vashe loko. The world, what we are seeing here, is under Krishna's control. Yosha darumayi yatha. That exactly like the wooden doll is playing according to the controller. How the wooden doll is puppets are playing in this world, yosha darumayi yatha. That it's a wooden doll, but it is being controlled by a puppet who is controlling the puppets, isn't it? So same, this world is also going on in the same way. So many dolls in all over the world, all these dolls are pinned from inside, is pulled by Krishna, that person's life. So, completely in freedom, we will also bring this understanding that kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam will go. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Krishna also said this to Yudhishthira Maharaj at one point. In the Bhagavatam you can notice that. He says to him, my dear king, that don't feel distressed about anyone because this world is under Krishna's control. Actually, it was Narada Maharshi who spoke about this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Narada Maharshi said this to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira, actually, this world is under the control of somebody else. And you should not feel lament about anyone in this world. So, this is this has happened to people who were all self-realized. You can see in the West also, Socrates' life, we have seen that before, isn't it? Socrates was a self-realized soul. By his own intellectual prowess, he has achieved that state by constantly analyzing within himself. And he had a very difficult life, when he was living here. His wife was not very helpful. She was always giving him trouble for not doing anything, always busy in discussing about spiritual life with other disciples. And she used to think that it was complete waste of time. She could never understand. And she used to fight with him in all these situations. But he was never distressed over anything. He used to accept it, that is also my prarabdham has to go through this. And while discussing with his disciples also, one day, as I mentioned before, that his wife brought and threw water on his head to cool him down. Then he said, every day, it thunders, today it has rained, he said. Because prior to that, she was shouting at him all day. So he says it was thundering, but now it has started raining, he said. So just look at the mind he lives with, the type of mind he had, that he has already accepted that the that my head is cold down, he says now. So, now, he had no tension because of that. Gadasune gadasumscha. So, what we are seeing here is that these things, one comes to this understanding that there is nothing to feel distressed over anything in this world. Krishna says, first verse he says, gadasune gadasumscha nani shochanti pandita. When one is realizing this, that coming and going is a part of this world. Isn't it? Coming and going is a part of this world. You can't change that. If you observe it carefully, you can see it's been happening all the time. So if it is like that, what's the point in worrying about it? And that is the nature of this world. An intelligent soul, Krishna says there, nani shochanti pandita. Pandita means one who has knowledge of the soul. He will not lament about it. Secondly, he says here that the that one, when one start feeling the distress and he starts crying, you have to take it that there is no knowledge inside. That's how you find out, Krishna says. If a person is in knowledge or not, you will see when he deals with a situation like this, whether he is crying or whether he is peaceful within himself. Not that he will laugh and play around at that time when somebody, he will not do that either, but his mind is peaceful, that what has happened in life is what is life is, and that's how life goes on, and he does not gets disturbed over it. Then, then Krishna says here that he will not lament about anything, about those who are dead and gone, nor about who is going to come in the future. Now, in that businessman's life we were discussing, if he had this understanding, he had read Bhagavad Gita, he has heard Vedantam, but what happened? It didn't come useful at the time when it was needed. Isn't it? So you can see that theoretical knowledge of Shastram and practical realization in life are two different things. Theoretical knowledge, everybody, most of the people have. Whoever has read Bhagavad Gita, yes, Krishna has said like this, gadasune gadasumscha nani shochanti pandita. But when it came to the practical field, where it was tested, your realization, if you have failed, then what is the use of what you have studied all this? That is where Krishna says there, that the shabdajalam maharanyam chitta brahmana karanam, that the world of sound is a big forest. If he enters into that, and if you keep on researching through the sound, that means the sound, where's this world of knowledge, that it will drive you crazy at the end. It will not get you anywhere. What is important, Krishna says, whatever you have understood from Bhagavad Gita, let that become your realization in life. Then that will help, even a little bit. That is why it said, Bhagavad Gita, kinchit adhita, ganga jalalava kaniga apita. That just even a small message from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita gives a lot of messages. But even if one message, if it gets in and it becomes a reality for you, a realization in life, you have saved a big thing in life. You have got out of a big problem in life. Because these are the truth what Krishna is talking to us. He says to us, the symptom of a person who is in knowledge is that he does not lament about those coming and going. First thing. Secondly, he says here, if you are feeling distress in life, it is only a symptom of ignorance in us. Life is not meant for crying. That is the Krishna's message. So many times he keeps repeating the same thing. Nani shochanti pandita, naktum shochitum arhasi. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. He keeps repeating to Arjuna in the second chapter, isn't it? And eventually also, at the end also, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. Don't cry, he says. So, crying is not to stop. Crying must stop. That is first point Krishna is making. Why? It must stop because of knowledge inside. That means the knowledge hasn't developed inside. This is the point Krishna is making. That if that is like that, does that mean that you shouldn't do anything to others? If it is like that, then why should I bother for others? No, that's not what it means. Prarabdham has brought certain situations in us, in certain family situation, or in a situation with relations and all that. A certain situation. but not allow that to get in, but to do what is necessary to keep the situation peaceful. That's all one should do. That is the, what is Krishna's point? That as soon as once you allow this to happen, then if you allow all these activities in this world, in relationship with family members or relatives in any way, if you allow that all these things to happen inside, that then you will experience the distress. Then you have lost it. That balance is gone. The one thing, one important thing here is that if you have to make a connection with someone, how does it start? It starts through communication, isn't it? Through conversation or through a telephone call or email or something, the relationship starts like that with another living entity. So, as long as that communication begins, it is possible that our vasanas inside will have a role in that. According to our vasana, you may develop some affection for that person or a hate for that person. Because depending on vasanas inside, it is very difficult to deal with a person in a neutral state. Very, very difficult to deal with a person in a neutral state. Definitely, as soon as you have a conversation with a person, that person will generate some kind of emotions inside. That's a known thing. Every person. It is like that in this world. As soon as you are dealing with another person, that person will create either a good feeling or a bad feeling inside. And although you may not express it, it will send a lot of thought waves inside about that person's dealings with you. So you can see, as soon as you allow that thought waves to develop inside, immediately it will turn into a chittavritti inside. Chittavritti, when it gets stronger with that person, it turns into a strong vasana inside. And once you have become a vasana inside, then automatically you have to develop another situation where you have to fulfill that vasana. Depends on type of vasana that has created inside. If the vasana that has created is in the form of a attachment or loving relationship with that person, it will develop strongly inside, then it will turn develop in another form, in the form of a strong attachment to that person in some form, it will develop that way. If it has developed in the other way, a hate towards him, and if it gets stronger, a vasana becomes very strong in that way, eventually you don't want to deal with that person, or you want to protect yourself from him, or you find that it is impossible, or it comes to a situation that you cannot have a normal relationship with him anymore. So this also will happen. This is all our own practical experience in life, how this happens in each day life, how it happens. Krishna is saying here, if you understand this principle, why Krishna is saying all these things is that by understanding the very subtle nature of the mind, how it deals with the world, they are all against the bringing the mind under control. Krishna points out this right here, that that without an emotion attached to anything, good or bad, you can't bring another person into your world. That's not possible, Krishna says here. And once he enters inside, what does happen? Then it starts working. So Krishna, he says here, Ishavasam idam sarvam, that the only way you can come out of this situation when this happens, because we cannot stop dealing with the world, people outside. It is impossible, isn't it? It's impossible to stop dealing with the world. And in a daily life, you will get to know many, many people at different times, in the office and in the social activities and all that. When this happens, Krishna says, Ishavasamidam sarvam, that everything is Krishna's presence in that person. If you start seeing like that, you won't see him as a friend or an enemy. It is Krishna who is present in that person. So that is the only way not to avoid the hate to build up inside towards anyone. If we, on the other hand, if we start seeing that person, oh, he is my enemy, I'm going to give it to him someday. And if that, that thought enters inside, then it will become a vasana inside. So not to allow that vasana to develop inside, the easiest way to do that, Krishna says, ishavasyamidam sarvam. That's the only way that that person whom you consider as your enemy is also Krishna, is present in that person. If you see it like that, okay, I don't want to deal with that Krishna now because that Krishna is giving me trouble. But at the same time, if you recognize that Krishna is inside that person, at least in your inside, you won't develop any inimical thought inside. Because this is the biggest problem. If he physically he may give you some trouble, or mentally he may give you some trouble, but that will come and that will go. But what is entered inside, in your inside, against him, is more harmful than what he is doing to you now. So Krishna says, if you develop this understanding that Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, that everything is Krishna's presence in all that, the person who is hating you is also Krishna, person who is loving you is also Krishna, the mind will not move. Mind will become more stable. That's another important thing. How do they say? The example they have given here is that cover everything with Krishna. As things are, Krishna is present in everything. In other words, just like jewelry, the bangles, the chain, and the ring, anklets, everything is made from gold. Isn't it? Everything is made from gold. When you start seeing each of these as different objects, oh, that's a nice chain, or that's a nice bangle, or that's a nice anklet, if you start seeing like that, you have a problem. But if you see everything is nothing but gold, then there is no problem. It's only gold. What is anklet? What is the chain? What's the necklace? What's the this thing? So that is one way of getting out of this problem, Krishna is saying here. That sarva khalidam brahma. Upanishads are statements like this. Sarvam khalidam brahma. Everything what you see is nothing but brahmam. Brahmam's different. And if you keep on doing this, what will happen is, if you keep on meditating in this way, then brahmam realization will come to some degree inside. At least it will not generate new vasanas inside. One can free oneself from new vasanas. Whenever see another living entity, if he starts Krishna's presence in there, if he recognizes that, and if ever, whenever you see something, some sound vibrations, if you can relate that with Krishna in the same way, or avoid that otherwise, and all our activities also on the understanding that I am doing under instructions from Krishna. Krishna wants me to do that, so I'm doing that. In this way, if we keep on doing, drive our life in this style, then everything will become Krishna at the end. We'll experience that. That's the point what Krishna is making. But once you allow the mind to move, then the mind won't move. Mind will become much more peaceful within self. All these different forms, if you understand that the different material bodies, the origin is the soul, isn't it? All the different material bodies, the origin is the soul. We have to know that creation, which we are discussing in the Bhagavadam at the moment, which Krishna is going to now talk to Uddhava. We wanted to start that yesterday, but it was a bit late. So there it will see, Krishna will start going back to the very basics again with Uddhava. Things which you never thought, why Krishna is talking to Uddhava, all these things, but because the reason is, Krishna goes back to basics again. Sa esha jivo vivara prasudi. That he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, try to understand where jiva has come from first. Today I am seeing someone and thinking that he is my enemy or he is my friend. But if you look at that person and you start seeing this Krishna's presence in that person, you will know, sa esha jivo vivara prasuti. Try to see how did he become a jiva, first of all, in the first instance. And after becoming a jiva, how did he got his mind? And after he got his mind, how did he get his gross body and the senses? If you see how gradually, when he has fallen from the soul position, spiritual position, became a jiva, became a subtle body, became a gross body, and in that gross body, he appears in front of me, and I'm considering him as my friend or enemy. Isn't it? So, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, if that consciousness comes in, all these thoughts also will come to you in a natural way. With the support of the Shastram, it will happen. Krishna says, and if these thoughts are developing inside, that then where is the possibility of allowing the mind to move against him or in favor of him, then so if with this understanding, when one serves Krishna, he says here that all our that everything will become soul. Everything will become soul. It gives the example like this. You know, this Chintamani. Chintamani is the, what they call as the touchstone. Touchstone. Whatever you touch with the touchstone, it becomes gold. Similarly, with this understanding, if you touch anyone, it will also change. These ill feelings will go and it will also manifest in front of us as Krishna's presence. Will be experienced in that way. So, Bodhamayam. Bodhamayam means that our consciousness becomes firm, firmly footed in that. If you see like that, eventually you will start realizing Krishna's presence in all other living entities. As long as we are seeing all objects separated from Krishna, all the objects separated from Krishna, we are seeing them different all the time. But and because we have seen them as different all the time, we have also developed different attachment and aversion to different people. It is because of this that Krishna, here Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that in order not to allow this sankalpam to develop inside against people or against other objects, the easiest thing to do, first thing, is to see Krishna's presence in everything, and with that realization, what will happen is that it is Krishna who is present in front of us in different forms. This realization will happen. And if one has realized that, eventually what will happen is Namarupam. These names and forms will go away. Remember, Namarupam, we were talking yesterday also. Namarupa Vihaya, like they gave the example. When the rivers fall into the sea, they disappear with their name and the form, all gone. And they fall into the sea and become one with that sea, and their consciousness is not disturbed anymore after that. So, Krishna says here, in that next verse when he spoke, this was the point he was insisting on that. What was that? Natvai vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadiva na chaivana bhavishyama sarve vayamataparam. That try to, if you have come to this position of seeing Krishna's presence in everyone and this understanding that living entity does not die, living entity has no birth, and in order to come to that point, you have to come to the spiritual platform first. Natvevaham, I'm always existing. Jatu na asam, you also are existing all the time. Natvam ne ime janadiva, all these people who are present here, they also are always existing. So where is the question of any kind of love or hate developing for them? That was the point Krishna has asked there. And as I mentioned before, three Mahavakyams or the important verses from the Upanishads have come into that verse. First verse, there was no time I didn't exist, Krishna says. Natvevaham, and that is the Aham Brahmasmi state. I'm always Brahman. Brahman is existing all the time. Then, there was no time you didn't exist. And Tatumasi, that you are also of me, same like me. Tat, Tuam, Asi, that is what it means. Tat, that Tatuam, Brahman, Tuam, you also is the same. It's not different from that. That's what that second line is talking about. Then, the third one, I am Atma Brahma, Pratyanam Brahma, he says here that Natvam Neme Janadiva. And this truth is equally applicable to all those who are present there. They are also are controlled by the same thought. That is Pratyanam Brahma. They are also Brahman. I am Brahman, you are also Brahman, and all these people who are present there, they are also Brahman. They are also not different from Brahman. So Krishna is saying these three things in that one verse. Krishna has brought it in. In other words, we have to see everyone as a soul and not as a body. And after Krishna has made him to understand his identity as the soul, which he has done in this verse, Natvam Natvevaham Jatunasam Natvam Neme Janadiva Na Chaivana Bhavishyama Sarve Vayamataparam. Then Krishna is explaining to him that in this world, you have Dehi and Deham, isn't it? ദഹിനോസ്മിൻ യഥാ ദേഹേ കൗമാരം യൗവനം ജര തഥാ ദേഹാന്തര പ്രാപ്തിർ ധീരസ്തത്രാന മുഖ്യതി. കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ദിയർ ദർ ഈസ് ഡെഡ് മാറ്റർ ജഡം ആൻഡ് ദർ ഈസ് ചൈതന്യം, ദ ചൈതന്യ ദ ലിവിംഗ് ഫോഴ്സ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. ഹി സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് ബ്രേക്കിംഗ് ദം അപ്പ്. ആഫ്റ്റർ സേയിങ് ദിസ് ദെൻ ഹി സ്റ്റാർട്ട്സ് ബ്രേക്കിംഗ് ദം അപ്പ്. സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഹൗ ദാറ്റ് പ്രോഗ്രസീവ്ലി കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ഗെറ്റിംഗ് ദ പോയിന്റ് ടു അർജുന. ഫസ്റ്റ് ഈ സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് അശോച്യാൻ അന്യശോചസ്ത്വം, ദാറ്റ് യു സ്പോക്ക് ലൈക്ക് എ സ്കോളർ ബട്ട് യു ഡോണ്ട് നോ എനിത്തിങ്. ദ സിംപ്റ്റം ഓഫ് എ സ്കോളർ ഓർ എ റിയലൈസ്ഡ് സോൾ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഡസൻ ലാമെൻറ്റ് അബൌട്ട് എനിത്തിങ്. ഹി ഡസൻ ലാമെൻറ്റ് അബൌട്ട് എനിത്തിങ് നാനി ശോചന്തി പണ്ഡിതാഹ. ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് സംബഡി ഈസ് ലാമെൻറ്റിങ് യു ക്യാൻ ടേക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൺലി എ സിംപ്റ്റം ഓഫ് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ്. ഡിസ്ട്രെസ് ഈസ് കമ്മിങ് ഫ്രം ഇഗ്നോറൻസ്, ഈ സെഡ് ദാറ്റ്. ദെൻ ഇൻ ദ സെക്കൻഡ് വേർഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു അർജുന ദാറ്റ് I am Brahman, why should I worry, disturb about anything? You are also a Brahman, part of the Brahman. Natoevaham jatunasam. You are also Brahman. You also have permanent existence. I have permanent existence. You have permanent existence. Not only that, all those who are present here, natum neme janadhibha, all those who are kings who are present here, they are also permanent. So in the second verse, Krishna spoke about the eternity of the soul to Arjuna. After said that, then Krishna comes to the bodily level and starts saying in terms of the body how we have to understand. There he is saying here that separate these two things, Jadam and Chaitanyam. When Chaitanyam is inside, Jadam gets functioning. Otherwise, Jadam has no function. So he said that what you are experiencing is this, he says. There is the human material body and inside there is Dehi. Similarly, there is somebody who is seeing, drik, and there is what is seen. Isn't it? Drik and drishyam. Drishyam is what we see, this world, created world. Drik is the soul inside who is seeing this. Then he says here, there is you are enjoying this world, but there is a sense object and there is you who is enjoying, vishayam and vishayi. So in everything, Krishna breaks up. Our life in this world, is Krishna is breaking it up into two, all of it. First to recognize that we are the body and then we have the soul. Then he is saying you are seeing something things, we are the drik and everything what you see, which is the seen. And third thing he says, you are enjoying the world, you are the vishayi and there is a sense object which is vishayam. And deham and dehi, vishayam and vishayi, drik and drishyam, jadam and chaitanyam. In four or five levels he have broken that up. ദേഹിനോസ്മിൻ യഥാ ദേഹേ കൗമാരം യൗവനം ജര തഥാ ദേഹാന്തര പ്രാപ്തിർ ധീരസ്തത്രാന മുഹ്യതി. സോ വി ഹവ് സീൻ ദയർ ദാറ്റ് ഫസ്റ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഡിസ്മാൻഡിൽസ് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഇൻ വിത്ത് ഇറ്റ്സ് നട്ട്സ് ആൻഡ് ബോൾസ് സെപ്പറേറ്റ്ലി ബ്രേക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ഡൗൺ ദ ഹോൾ അസംബ്ലി. ദൻ ഇൻ വെൻ ദിസ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഈസ് കംപ്ലീറ്റ് ഇൻ സൈഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് വി വിൽ ബി ഏബിൾ ടു റിജക്ട് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദി less important part of the two. So constantly this process has to work inside. A great sage once, what happened to him, that he in the when he was about 16-17 years old, he had this experience in his dream that he was going to die. In his dream he was experiencing that he was going to die. When he found that he was going to die, he became extremely concerned. But then he experienced this death in the dream and then he woke up. Experience the death. How did he experience the death in the dream? In the dream, he saw him. He saw himself dying, and all his relatives are taking him to the cemetery, and they were burning his body. And he is witnessing all these things in the dream. So when he woke up from the dream, he started thinking, "I experienced death in my dream, but I am still here. So what does that mean? That means I should be something which I am." Which is not supposed to experience death. There must be something beyond death. So this thought occurred to him, and because he was a thoughtful person, he started thinking, analyzing this again and again. This is how people's spiritual life goes in this world. The spiritual life is not all structured for us. Nobody keeps everything ready-made and packed ready for you to come and take it. It is all your own thought process that stimulates this understanding of the spiritual life. That he started seeing that if what I have experienced in this dream is true, that I have been taken. He didn't leave it. Oh, it's all a dream. What's the worry about it? That's not how he thought about it. What he thought about it was that if I die in the dream like this, and they were burning my body, and I'm standing there and seeing this, I must be something which cannot be subjected to death, because I'm still here after that. So similarly, is it not? Because he knew that by his understanding some shastram, he knew that the vacant state is not very much different than the dream state. Today, you see, our main problem today is that we think the dream state is all less important. The vacant state is the absolute situation. This is very firmly rooted in our mind. But by proper culture of knowledge, from the shastram you can see that the vacant state is as much a dream state in the while sleeping. Only thing, the eyes are open, their eyes are closed. That's all the difference is. Otherwise, it is a very much a dream state. If it is not a dream state, why are we banging our head day and night for maintaining this temporary material body? Is that not itself a big dream that is keeping us going like this? So there are so many things. That is why these three states of existence is an important thing in spiritual life, important step in spiritual life. Every night, when you go to deep sleep, Krishna is allowing you to leave the body, gross body. Krishna is allowing you to leave the mind. Krishna is allowing you even to leave the intelligence. And then you are coming out and telling to yourself, oh, I had such a nice time, I slept very well. I slept well and I was in total peace also when I came out from the sleep. This is our open statement in the morning after a good night's sleep. Even if you have taken painkillers or sleeping pills, doesn't matter. Still, when you come out of the sleep, you are still saying that I had a really happy time. Because why? In that state, I did not experience anything related to the body, related to the mind, related to the intelligence, no problems. So every night, Krishna is giving a taste to us and telling us, without body, without mind, without senses, that you can be happy. Isn't it? You can be happy without all these things. But what do we do when we come out in the morning, we wake up, first, we want all these things, make sure that they are all in perfect condition to become happy. And then the search for happiness starts. Although in the night Krishna has given happiness in one way to make us realize that happiness is not with upadhis. These are called upadhi. Shariram, manasa, buddhi. All these are upadhis. Without upadhis, we were happy. And we got a taste of it also in the deep sleep. When we came to the wakened state, we are saying to ourselves, that, oh, I have to now work to become happy in life. And this is why our Krishna calls us Mutha, because of this. Mutathvam in us. So, Shastram is teaching us things like this. And in spite of all that, and we develop this, what is known as the false ego, comes at that point, and it starts controlling us. And then all our happiness is centered around that false ego's fulfillment of all its desires. Then, so one thing is clear, that when the when this peace develops inside, only when the when I realize that I'm when I start thinking, this person I was mentioning about, he started thinking, if it is like this in the dream state, what I've experienced is true, and if I know that I am not this body, that body can be burned in the dream state as well as in the vacant state. Body can be dreamed, burned. But I am separate from this body, then who am I? That question came up to him. And that is how this thought, he says, I'm not this body is not mine, and this body is not is not meant for my benefit or meant for my use. This understanding came to him very strongly. And when he realized that, he held on to that throughout life. He never gave it up. I'm not this body. This body is not mine. And this body is not for my benefit or enjoyment in any way. One day or the other, it will go. As it has come, it will go also. But I am different from all this. These are simple things in life, theoretically to know. But as long as it gets inside deeply, then it becomes our realization. And that is when it really helps, that when that understanding comes. So, here, what we have to do is, Krishna talked about three things, isn't it? Kaumaram yavanam jara, tatha dehandara prapti. All these things were discussed in this verse, isn't it? Why did Krishna discuss it in that way? That question we have to ask. The reason for that is, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, what happens to us in these stages in life? Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara. What is happening to us? And prior to that, when we get this material body. If you look into the third canto, 31st chapter, a whole chapter, Kapila Vasudev gives to this knowledge of the birth. And in that chapter, Krishna will say here that if you study that chapter very carefully, attachment for the body will go. Attachment for the body will go. That is chapter number 31. Let's look at the chapter a little bit. Kapila Vasudeva was instructing Devahuti Devi at that time, isn't it? Kapila Vasudeva was instructing Devahuti Devi. Devahuti Devi asked Kapila Vasudeva about the transmigration of the soul and how the human body appears in this world. In answer to that, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Karmana Devanetrena Jandurdehopavatayim Sriya Pravishtam Udaram Pumso Retakana Shrayaha. Krishna says, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti that when there is strong karma vasanas inside, when there is strong karma vasanas inside, he has to accept material body. That's an absolute fact. I'll give you a proof for that. When we go to sleep at night, in the deep sleep, when we go to bed at night, we go to sleep, we are thinking, are you frightened? Will I wake up in the morning? Have you thought about any time that, if I go to sleep, if I don't wake up, what will happen? We are not frightened about it, are we? Never once, at least in the last 62 years I slept, not once I got worried about it, that I will wake up in the morning or not. Why is that?
Eternal.
We know eternal.
The soul is eternal.
No, not due to that. Soul is eternal, that is there. But what actually never makes us to feel frightened about it is, we have a lot of prarabdha vasanas inside. These prarabdha vasanas will give us this strong impetus inside that you have to complete that vasana. So you have to wake up in the morning. And once you know that, you have no fear. Because I will wake up, my vasanas will keep me going in the next day also. And that is, the soul of course is eternal. There is no doubt about that. But we have not realized the soul yet. Only when you have realized the soul, you can talk in terms of the soul. Till you have not realized the soul, what is controlling us is the vasanas inside. Isn't it? So the fact is that when you are going to sleep in the night, you have no fear that you will wake up in the morning. Even if you are very, very sick and you are going to die, still this fear won't come that I'm going to die, I won't wake up in the morning. It won't come. Why? There is strong, powerful vasanas inside you telling you that I have to complete those vasanas tomorrow when I wake up. So this is the power of this vasana. You see, karma vasana and knowledge are two different things. And out of that, karma vasana is more powerful than knowledge. It's more powerful than knowledge. For example, say we have a lot of vasanas inside, various kinds of vasanas, attachment to different things, wants to enjoy this, wants to enjoy that. You try with your knowledge to stop it, those vasanas. You try with your knowledge to stop those vasanas. The knowledge will fail, karma will succeed at the end. Why? Karmam is more powerful than jnanam in that way. Karmam is more powerful than jnanam in that way. So that is why it's a big battle for us. The inside vasana is fighting against the knowledge what you have acquired from the shastram. And so knowledge always loses in that battle. Always loses. That is why day after day, even after studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, still we are same. Why? Karma vasana inside is very powerful. That's what he's saying here. Karmana devanetrena jandur dehopavataye. When he is accepting a material body, the jandu he is referred to here, that because of the purva karma, previous karma what he has executed, not necessarily in this lifetime, that the the soul immediately has no choice except to accept a human through a male's body, enter into the womb of another mother. There is no other choice left for that. Then Then Krishna Kapilavasudeva start discussing about that progression of that soul within the womb. Kalalam tvegaratrena panjaratrena bulbudam dashahenadu karkandu peshendam va tataparam. That in one day, shuklam and shonitam, that becomes kalalam. These are the words used in the shastram. That how the bijam, the soul which has entered into the womb, how the development of the soul within that, how it happens. In one day it becomes like this, in 5 days it called budbudam. And in 10 days it becomes what is known as badari, like a badari fruit, it becomes a small piece. And then eventually it becomes a big piece of flesh. That is how that body is developing within the womb of the mother. That masena tu shirodvabhyam bahuangriya anga vigraha nakhalomasti charmani linga chidrol bhavastribhi. In 4 months' time, saptadhadu. That means, saptadhadu means, you know, the 7 things in the body, like the blood and the bones. And shuklam shonitam asti majja, and the bone marrow, and all these 7 things what is talked about, they all develops in that piece of flesh. It all develops at that point. Then what happens? Chadurbhida chadurbhirdhadavastapta panchamikshutrud bhava sharbarjarayunami that kucho brahmidi dakshini. Then in 6 months' time, for about 5 months' time, it start experiencing hunger and thirst while within that womb, that piece of flesh which has now developed the sapta dhadus inside, it starts experiencing hunger and the thirst. In 6 months' time, and it gets covered by the inside, by the cover of that baby form. Madur jagdan annabana dhairi thadura sammade shete vinmutrayor garte sajandur jandu sambhave. That when that living entity inside, in mother's womb, when it's developing, it is going through a very, very hard time there. Very, very hard time. Because the place where it has occupied is not a very comfortable situation. It is not a very comfortable situation. Urine, stool, and all those things along with that, this body also has to stay there. And at the same time, when it's hungry, it wants to eat. And at the same time, it gets bitten by all the worms who are present there. And very often, it becomes unconscious as well. Krimibhi chada sarvanga saugumaryal pratikshanam murchamapno turuklesham tatatratyei chududeir muhum. Then, kadudishnoshna levanarushma amladirulbane madrabuktairubaspishta sarvangothidavedanam. Ulbane samrda tasmin namrescha bhira avrda avaste krutva shira kutshav bhugna prishta shirodharam. At the same time, what happens is, whatever the mother has eaten, and whether it is very hot or whether it is very sour, salty, whatever it is, along with that, this soft body, piece of flesh, what he is now at the moment, and he has to lie there in a particular pattern, which you can see the photographs of that, they show that, isn't it, in the books and all that. How the baby lies within the womb, in that contracted condition, which is one of the most miserable situation for a person. And all that time, and it is not a pleasure situation, the 10 months what it has to stay inside the womb. So even when you are controlled for 1 day in this world, how you feel about it? As soon as the weather goes very grey and dull, for 1 day you can't go out, you feel uneasy inside the house, isn't it? You want to get out somewhere and want to go away, the sun is not coming out. Imagine 10 months if you have to live like this inside a mother's womb in that way. That's what Kapilavasudeva is talking about. Plus, all the other pain that is inflicted on you, and you have no freedom to fight against anything. You just have to accept it.
Akalpasvasvangajeshtayam shagundamiva panchare tatralabdasmrididaival karmajanmashadodbhavam smaran dirghamanichuvasam sharmakim namavindade.
Then, just like a bird in a cage, unable to move anywhere, at the same time, he keeps remembering about all his activities in the past, purva janma, what all he has done. That comes back to him at that time. And that gives him a understanding that that I am only suffering because I had done so many nonsense in my previous lifetimes. And that thought comes very strongly at that time. So sometimes it is said like this, that when you are inside the mother's womb, you are more or less like a yogi. Why? Because yogis also can remember the past in many ways. So what has caused this situation? This situation, why I am suffering like this today, that realization will come inside the womb because of the remembrance of the past. As soon as Krishna gives you a remembrance of the past, immediately you notice it, that yes, this is what my track record is, there is no surprise at all, I am put into this situation. So while suffering, when you know the cause of your suffering, then you feel a little relief, isn't it? Otherwise you will be protesting, you will be thinking, why have I been put into this situation? But Krishna gives you the documented proof at that time in the form of memory. Tell you, look, this is your record and that's why you are here, like this. He tells you from inside. As soon as you hear that, you feel a little relief that, well, I have done this, so I have to pay the time for that. Agalpaswangajeshtayam shagundamiva banjare tatra lebda smrita daival karma janma shator bhavam smarendirghamanuchyasam sharmakim namavindade. Then from the 7th month onwards, because you have become conscious and because of the particular place where you are, it is very difficult to be happy there in any situation. So, Nathamana Krishibir, Arabya Saptamasa Labdha Bodho Vivepida Negastre Sudivade Vishta Buriva Sodaram. Then, when Jiva in that situation suffers like this, and when he had given all his previous record, he comes to his senses. He comes to his senses. And what does he do? He becomes like a sage at that time. And he says to Krishna like this, that please don't put me to this situation once again. From now on, I will be your loyal devotee. I won't anymore forget you, and I will continue to serve you. All these guarantees we give at that time when we are there inside. And he glorifies Krishna at that time. So in the Bhagavatam, if you look at that, there is many, many verses how we, inside the womb of the mother, has glorified Krishna. But at that time, we are called a jandu. We have not come out yet. Janduru Vaja. And in that verses, that is a many, many verses, worthwhile reading again and again, how we felt inside that womb of the mother, how when we were going through that distress. And after all saying that, it's a long prayer, it's running about 10-12 verses. And he says there, the jantu says to Krishna that I don't want to go out anymore. I will stay here. I will accept this punishment. What has been given to me, I don't want to go out. And he will say to Krishna that that if I go out, why did this happen to me before? I've forgotten you because of the powerful Maya. Maya has touched me. Jandu is full of knowledge at that time. Inside the womb is in knowledge. So he says to Krishna that this has happened to me because Maya has controlled me. That's why this has happened. I don't want to go out. The fear of Maya is in there at that time. And he says to Krishna like this. Krishna says to him, you have said this before also to me many times. How many times have you said this to me? And every time you say this and you go out and then you immediately you forget me and you start doing what you thought. So don't stay here, get out of this, and gives a kick from inside. That's when we come out from inside the womb. Prasutyai Sudhimaruta. Krishna has got one agent there called Sudhimaruta. It's a particular air in the body of the mother that pushes him out from inside. The funniest thing is when he falls out from inside, he doesn't fall properly, upside down. Coming itself is upside down first. Viparidanu gadim gadaha. That when he comes out itself, in the mind is in the opposite direction. The head is down, body is up. That's how he comes out. So when he comes out like that, you can see his misery also starts from that day onwards. It says here. So, evam kamadir garbe dashamas tyastuvan rishi
sadhya kshibatya vajinam prasutyai suti marudam. Then and go on like that. And then what happens is, somehow he has come out from inside, and then he falls into the blood and the urine, everything, and he struggles there. Others comes to help. If somebody comes to help, if you are lucky enough, somebody comes to help, takes you out from there. And viparidam gadim gadam roru yadi gade jnane viparidam gadim gadam, that opposite thing, what he thought about it inside, has happened to him. He has happened to him. And he is unable to say anything. No power of speech has happened to him yet. And he also has to accept things what he doesn't want, because he doesn't know what to say, what he wants and what he doesn't want. Sometimes he cries. He's crying for some reason, but the mother thinks he's crying for something else and gives something which he doesn't want and forces the child to take it. All kinds of experiences happens at that time. Plus he gets bitten by all other living entities in some form. And here it talks about mosquitoes and bugs and everything. And all sorts, and also the worms, all who have just given him plenty of distress. In this way, balyam, kaumaram, the two early stages goes through. And in the balyam and kaumaram, all he wants to do is to play. He just wants to play. That's all. Kaumaram, yavanam. Then after kaumaram, he comes to the youth. It is there the worst situation. He says here, kaumaram, yavanam, jaram. In yavanam, what has happened to him is all sorts of, it says here, iti evam shaishavam bhuktva dukham paugandame vaja alabdhabib sidojnanam adikdamanyu shucharpidaha sahadehe namanena vardhamanena manyuna karodi vigraham kami shvandaya chalpanam. That balyam and kaumaram is over. Then in yavanam, desires builds up. Strong desires, various kinds of desires. And not knowing that he is unable to fulfill those desires because of your past karma has holding him back in some way or the other, he gets angry with others when his desires are not fulfilled, and he feels insulted, his false ego gets insulted very strongly, and he starts quarreling with others at that point. These are the changes that's happening. It says here, the word used is sahadevena. Sahadevena manina. Krishna says here, sahadehena manena vardhamanena manyuna. In other words, what he's saying there, that identification with the body becomes very strong in the youth. So sahadehena manena vardhamanena manyuna. When the identification with the body has become strong, the false ego also becomes very strong. Simultaneously, the false ego also becomes very strong. So when these two things have happened, karodi vigraham kami kami shandaya chalpana, that all what matters to him at that point is, I want to get things the way I want it, get done in that way. And he thinks, I am the man of the world, and he walks out ready to deal with this world. The confidence in him and his ego inside, the arrogance inside, if you look at that person at that time, we have all gone through that. Don't think that we are all exceptions to it. We are all the same mold. Nobody is different. And then at that point, if anybody gives you some good advice, you'll kick him on his face and tell him, you're telling me, I know what I have to do. That is the attitude at that time, isn't it? It's very difficult at that time to think in all terms of Bhagavad Gita. It's very, very hard because of this strong ego, strong body, strong mind, everything. So that is why Krishna has mentioned these words there, sahadehena manena vardhamanena manyuna. It is at that age one has to be extremely careful, more than any other time in life. Because when the body and the mind and the senses are very, very strong, the question of self-realization doesn't exist. It never happens. So he pointed out here that me and mine has built up already. Once has developed inside, very difficult to take it away. It wasn't there when I was a little boy. Me and mine didn't exist. Have you noticed that? If you remember in the Bhagavadam, how this was brought out, that's a very beautiful way. Krishna took Uddhava to bring about the Yadu, that King Yadu story. Yadu Maharaj went to Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Maharshi brought 24 spiritual masters. One of the spiritual master is that little boy, Arbhaga. Arbhaga means the little boy. What did that boy do? All the time he was playing. But when he was playing, sometimes the play of the toys will not be done properly. It will not work the way he wanted it. What he'll do? He'll just throw it away and walk away from there. Never bothers about it anymore. In other words, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam was not in the child. I am doing this. Whereas an adult, a grown-up person who has developed bodily identity very strongly, what he will do, his false ego will be hurt. For a child, false ego doesn't hurt. Have you noticed that? Child, if you observe the child, say 2 years old, trying to walk, he will fall many, many times, isn't it? But he doesn't get hurt. He gets up and then he starts to walk again. Eventually he starts walking in the normal way. Only when does he notice the false ego building? If you look at and observe him, he will cry. Not because he got hurt from the fall, that you have looked at him. He gets upset over it. That's what upset him. Why? His false ego has been hurt. So this is how that false ego builds up in the person. Sahadevena manjina. So little by little, from the age of 2, 3, it starts building up. And by the time he becomes a youth, better not to say anything after that. What happens? What we do at that time in life? Completely lost all control on everything. Day is night for us, night is day for us at that time. And if anyone says anything cross against you, then you have decided what you're going to do with him. All this arrogance that builds up at that age is unbelievable. And when you look back and start thinking that you had to go through that, that sahadevena manena, and when you read that, what Krishna is saying, warning us about it, sahadehena manena vardhamanena manyuna, that ego and that identification with the body is so strong, and then you dress up to impress others with your body, and go to the gym to build up the muscles in the body, and to tell the world, look, you know who I am? That you don't have to say that, but it's there. It's there, isn't it? When you drive the car also, the car you are driving, is it up to the latest standard? Speed limits don't bother you anymore. You're above the speed limits when you drive. If the policeman stops you and asks you, first you put up a brave face and start fighting with him also. All these things you see on the road all the time. So what I'm saying is that sahadevena manena vardhamanena manjuna. Krishna is saying in these 3-4 words, he says what happens to us at that age in life. So if you constantly study these things, and we see change is happening all the time, isn't it? Kaumaram yavanam jara, changes constantly happened. Tada dehandra prapti, eventually when it comes to death, we will notice there at that time that there is a death waiting for us. And at that point we come to some sense, but it's too late. But it is too late. So we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.